This morning, our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. I invite you to hear our lesson this morning. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it didn't take long for Jesus to start gathering people around himself. He had barely been baptized and come out of the desert when he started calling his first disciples. And his first choices were two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Three out of these four, Peter, James, and John, gave Jesus great teachable moments throughout his ministry, often because they were doing something that they shouldn't be doing. James and John, the sons of thunder, were often arguing over who was the better and most important. And Peter, of course, well, Peter was challenged and rose to those challenges and then often sank as a result of his efforts. But because of them, we have great moments in Scripture of people much like us who follow Christ and give us hope that if they can do it, well then, we can too. Over the centuries, the church has lifted up this particular moment in time as the benchmark for discipleship and calling. We return to it again and again. We use it as the example of what happens when one encounters Jesus. Jesus, at this time, has taken up the mantle left by John after his arrest. Jesus is now the one who is calling out, preaching the kingdom of God is near. Now is the time to repent and believe in the good news. As he comes upon these brothers hard at work and making their livings, he calls to them, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people." Both sets of brothers hear him call, and both sets respond immediately. Mark is fond of that word, immediately. Things happen, and Jesus moves on. But they drop what they're doing. They abandon their businesses, their families, etc., and go off on a journey, the nature of which they could never imagine. So for countless generations, the church, have looked at this story and declared, this is the way it happens. We hear Jesus' voice in the good news proclaimed, and we respond and follow immediately. No questions asked. If we ask a question, then somehow we are questioning the validity of the good news. If we ask a question, then maybe our faith and commitment isn't great enough. We are wanting to hold on to something, and we're unwilling to fully commit to Christ. We must therefore be unworthy of that calling. This story in Mark is the way it is supposed to happen. This is the way we become disciples. Well, at least it's one way to become disciples. When we lift up the brothers as the example for answering Christ's call, we often neglect to say that all four of them at one point or another returned to fishing from time to time. They still used their skills to provide the other disciples as well as their families with fish and income. They helped navigate Jesus across the sea a few times. They did not stop using their skills. They did not change who they were, at the very core of who they were. However, they did change the focus of their lives. And over time, their lives transformed. For many of us, I would guess, our development into followers of Jesus was a little more subtle and less traumatic than the examples set by Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. For most of us, at least I would imagine that was true. As the church has continued on for these many generations, many of us may not really be aware of when we answered the call to follow Christ. We may think of our confirmation when we stood before the church and read our statements of faith and became members of the church. Or perhaps some of us can still remember our baptism, those of us who were of age when we were baptized. Some of us may think of a time whenever perhaps we left the church for a while because we were dissatisfied or life got in the way or it just wasn't where we wanted to be for a while. But then something brought us back and we decided we missed it. We can say, this is the moment when I truly became a disciple. But I would imagine that in this room, many of us may never really know a time in our lives when we did not know God. We did not have that great experience of transformation because we've always been at church. We've always prayed. We've always studied scripture. We tried to follow the teachings of Christ in our lives. From the moment we were born, we have been here and have always been here and will always be here. So the story of dropping everything seems a little far-fetched and not necessarily something we can imagine experiencing because it's far outside the realm of possibility for us. Until, that is, the telephone rings. And there's a voice from someone from church who, after an initial back and forth of chit-chat, finally gets around to why they're calling. The person on the other end of the phone may sound a little nervous, which makes you feel a little nervous. They sound like they're reading a rehearsed speech, which makes you even more nervous. And suddenly you find yourself in a boat on the seashore minding your own business, and the person on the other end of the phone says, "I'm calling on behalf of the nominating committee, and we are wondering if, ... you would consider serving as a ruling elder or as a deacon or a trustee." And true to the story, you hear the good news and drop what you're doing and say enthusiastically, "Why, yes, I'd love to serve. Let me drop what I'm doing immediately and I'll be right there. When do I start?" Believe it or not, it does happen like that sometimes. I hear the chuckling and I know you think I'm lying, but I'm not. Then there are the others who, when they receive that summons by the nominating committee, are like Moses in the Old Testament and try to come up with every single excuse in the book as to why not to answer God's call to serve. "I don't have time," or "I've done my time." "I don't have talent." And occasionally, I am not joking, some people actually will let you know they'd rather be kicked in the head than do whatever it is you have asked them to do. No lie. Someone looked at me dead in the face and said, "No, really, I would rather be kicked in the head." So, well, perhaps we need to go back and pray about this one some more. Most people actually take time to think about the invitation to serve in the roles of ruling elder, deacon, and trustee. If one has never been invited to serve in that office, he or she may want to understand what the role entails. After all, the call is for a lifetime. Once an elder, always an elder. Once a deacon, always a deacon. Luckily for the trustees, their commission ends after their 3-year term. Some of you may want to keep that in mind the next time the nominating committee calls about trusteeship. We may want to pray about the call. Take the time to really seek out what's going on in our hearts and the life of the church. We may ask, "Why did the committee call me? How desperate did they have to be to get to the list that had me on it?" Or some of us may actually think, "Well, it took them long enough to get around to calling me." following Christ into roles of leadership and ministry, taking up a responsibility and taking vows of service really is a serious task. And we may wonder if we have what it takes to do what must be done. But just as Jesus must have seen something in those first disciples, just as he must have known they were the ones to call, we believe those who are called to serve on the session or as deacons or trustees have the gifts they need to accomplish what must be done at this particular time in the life of the church. Just as Jesus worked with a group of people, we live and grow and minister within a group. We may not recognize we have gifts to meet the congregation's needs, but the nominating committee recognizes our gifts, and then the congregation recognizes our gifts. And we are affirmed that we have indeed received the call from Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit within ourselves and in a congregation. And then we pick up a mantle for particular service. And then we follow. We follow Christ closely through prayer, through worship, through service to others. We pay attention, perhaps a little more diligently, to our discipleship because we know we have said yes when the call came. So today we celebrate the gift of discipleship and the call of Christ to be the church. Jesus, as we see, did not set out to do everything on his own, but he taught by example. He gathered people around himself to see and hear and practice the good news. He turned that ministry over to those he left behind, but the Holy Spirit did not leave them, nor does he leave the church today to our own devices. The Holy Spirit of Christ still brings us the gifts we need to follow Christ. Whether we are called to serve in ordained ministry, as minister of word and sacrament, as ruling elder, or deacon, or not, and whether we're called to be a commissioned role, such as the office of trustee, or not, whether we are called to be disciples, we are all called to be disciples. We are all called to follow Christ and to be fishers of people, whether or not we are ever ordained or commissioned. So all of us in this room have heard the call of Christ to come and follow me. To come and follow me. I will make you fishers of people. That is our task each and every day, to follow. And so this morning, let us celebrate that gift of call. Let's celebrate the gifts of discipleship as we celebrate the gifts of our church officers who have answered the call to a particular service. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful and we offer thanks for the gift of call, for the gift of your words that come to us that say, follow me, and I will show you a new way of being. I'll give you purpose. I'll give you direction. And I will lead you into a place where we will encounter people, encounter opportunities to serve, where we will love and be loved. We are grateful for this gift and the gift of one another in this congregation and in your whole church. As we commit ourselves today, recommit ourselves today to serve you with joy and hope and peace and faith. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen.